Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a 1-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Tonight's stories.
Business.
Birth. I forgot my word.
Oh, no.
I had to go back and look at it.
You literally.
Conversion.
Dismissed.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Comfort Level Podcast. I'm Maddie, and I'm here with...
Brandon.
Sam 1.
Sam 2.
Woo!
Yeah! Guess who's back? Sam is back.
You told a friend, Sam is back, Sam is back, Sam is back, Sam is back.
This is a strong start.
Great. Very strong, very not later at night. Everybody's getting a little bit more sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting the sleepy side of the crew.
I'm actually thinking about Taco Bell.
Oh. What in particular?
Well, our family chat, my mom's, I guess I found out she's very passionate about Taco Bell. She's like, are the Mexi Melts back? And I'm like, I didn't know they were gone. And then we had literally for an hour in the family chat, me, my sister, my mom, just talking about Taco Bell and how we're...
So you get it from somewhere.
I didn't know she still was into it like that.
So good.
She's really into it.
Yeah. Far from the tree.
But she's like, I just got some. She texted like an hour ago. I just got some. And yeah, it's good.
It is. I trust Auntie Pat.
Your face when you said, yeah, it's good. I could see your mom.
Yeah, it's good. She sent us a picture. Look at the beef. She's like showing the beef. I'm like, is she turning into a Taco Bell influencer or something? She took a picture of the contents of the taco.
Ask me if you just...
But every time someone, it's two things. If someone talks about Taco Bell, if someone talks about Popeyes, I will get it within 3 days. I just can't hear it and not get it. I might not get it that day, but I am going to get it. And now the Taco Bell is spoken. I got to get Taco Bell.
But wait, you said Taco Bell and Popeyes. So is it like a cool down? Like, is it like if
it
Taco
is,
Bell?
Why Popeyes on Sunday after church?
So yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there is no cool down. If they're both brought up, one's going to get God eventually.
Yeah, it will happen. And it's a sickness. It's a problem.
I might get Popeyes tomorrow.
How was your Popeyes?
My Popeyes before was one of the worst experiences. The breading was weird. It was awful. It's bad. Yesterday, it was fire. I cannot talk. I'm like, I'm back. Popeyes is back.
That's the one thing that scares me, though, is no matter what, though, you're still paying the same price and you just, it's a gamble.
Yeah. But usually it's like fine enough. Like it's still good, even if they give you bad service. I'm like, I don't know what y'all did. The chicken, I feel like y'all just... went to the store and bought random ingredients and tried to fry it and it didn't work out.
You're like, it's crazy that you just tried to serve me this.
And then you looked at me in my eye
I'm eating it. Your eye.
In my eye.
Your one eye.
I have my eye patch on. Oh. You guys know about me and the eye patch. Oh,
he was like, it's actually my secret identity when I go out in public. Yeah.
So wait, people don't recognize me.
Like nobody knows.
On top of liking and subscribing, I think everybody should comment like what their experience, like rate your experience 1 through 10, like overall, your experience at Popeyes. I'm giving
it
like a
solid 5.
If you have
been to Popeyes.
If you have been to Popeyes.
I'm giving it a 10.
I'm giving it like a solid 5 because the good days, they do want to give me a 10. But then those bad days, it's like, bro, like I swear they're like gatekeeping the sweet heat sauce. Anytime I order sweet heat sauce.
You talk about sweet heat sauce a lot.
I love it. But every time I order it, they never put, I literally always ask, is the sweet heat sauce in here? And they're like, yes. And I open it up and I check in front of them and it is never in there.
But that's what you got. It's a Popeyes. That's what you have to do. That's it's in their manual. If someone asks for sauce, don't put it in. It actually says in their manual.
But they be giving me the ton of honey. Sauce.
They give me
two handfuls.
They've got barrels of honey. Like we gotta get rid of this.
It's gonna go bad next week. Let's go.
They just have bees in the back that are working. Like we have too much honey.
Just give them all.
I didn't even get the biscuit, and they giving me honey. I just want a side of fries. And they give me honey.
Giving you honey, man.
Dang,
it's crazy.
I think if you don't have a Popeyes or if Popeyes isn't your thing that you fiend after, what is a restaurant or a place that you eat at that if you hear about it within 3 days, you need to get it?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Especially if you don't live in the United States.
Yeah. Put those businesses out there like this next
story. Like this next story. First story.
First I thought story. She was going to transition it, so I just
it did seem like she was going to transition.
I didn't know any of the words, and I wasn't going
to
risk looking.
She did. Were you trying to look at it?
No.
Okay.
This first story is from r/comfortlevelpod.
Oh.
I would say half of the stories from today are from r/comfortlevelpod.
Back.
Yes. Am I the asshole for refusing to give business to one of my close friends?
No.
Refusing.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, friendship and business.
I was like, they don't mix usually. Yeah.
Hello, I've been listening to you guys for forever, and I love what you do. Thanks for being awesome. Now for my context. My friend is a waxing specialist, so she's great at what she does, and I've been going to her since she was working under a company. I met her through an appointment I got with her. We've been friends the day we met. In her time there, I've been seeing her like 2 years consistently, and then she moved out to her own suite/rental, so she's running the show on her own. I was happy for her. I followed her there, and I always tip well, too. She's been doing her own thing since the beginning of this year. Now, fast forward to last month, I was on the highway heading over, and there was a bad wreck, so I let her know I would be 10 minutes late. She said that's fine. I got there, we did the appointment as usual, and everything seemed fine and normal. However, at the end, for payment time, she said, oh, by the way, I'm going to have to charge you an extra 30% for being late. Now, I do hair myself, so I get needing to have some income if you get a no-show or someone shows up late and ruins the rest of your workday. Totally understandable. However, my problem is there was no policy of this or the amount that would be charged written anywhere or on her website for the booking. What also got me was how she said, yeah, a lot of people kept no-showing my appointments last month, so I'm having to charge 30% of their service so I don't lose all that money. I totally get that. I'm understanding, but I'm not a no-show, and I've been a consistent client, so shouldn't I have been charged less for just being late, like 15-20%? I just wish that I would have either gotten a warning for next time I was late or it was clearly written somewhere or on the booking website she uses. It almost feels like she charged me more because she knew I wouldn't fight it and that I've had that happen before myself. For me professionally, you should have an amount for a late fee and a no-show fee written for your booking, and it didn't show more than a no-show fee. I canceled my next appointment with her, and I have just gone back to the company that I used to go to so I can find a new wax person. I feel kind of bad, but honestly, I've given her free haircuts. I've never no-showed, and I'm rarely late. I'm worried about the rift in the friendship it might cause, but honestly, I wouldn't have done that to her if it was me. I would have treated it like a speeding ticket. Hey, you were late this time, and that's fine, but going forward, I need to charge X amount for a late fee. Mm-hmm. That would have been great, or just charge me 15 to 20%, but 30 seems ridiculous for me not being a no-show. Am I the asshole?
Nope.
No. Mm-hmm. And when you told her you were going to be late, she didn't say nothing? She didn't say anything?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of awkward. Like, I would be like, Well, I guess she still wants you to show up because she'll lose money that way, but...
Yeah, I think what she was saying was completely reasonable.
Correct.
Especially from her also doing service type jobs where there's appointments and sometimes people are late, you know. I think what your recommendation would have been is totally fair. Either warn me or this time maybe just charge me less and then have it on the website, have it on the booking before I'm even booking. So I understand what that is if I am late, you know, instead of just telling me right when I'm about to pay, hey, by the way, there's a 30% charge for you doing this. So, especially because she gets free stuff from her too. Like, it just seems like it's a friend thing. You didn't really help me out when I help you out a lot.
Right. But here's the thing, would the booking website have even helped her at that point to know? Because if she was already on her way and there was a crash, that's why she was late. Like, it doesn't really...
Well, I think she
was... for future, but but...
Well, I think she was just saying, like, in general, when I would have booked with her and I would have known, okay, she charges this much in general from the beginning, but she's never done that.
Way early.
Yeah. Okay. She's never done that.
Get it.
Because to me, it doesn't even seem like it matters if they're a friend or not. I think if you're in a service-oriented job like that, that relies on appointments from people and repeat customers, you would do it like the speeding ticket thing where you're like, hey, just try not to do this. I do have these rules and I'll get you next time, because you're trying to build your customer base and encourage them to stay. I feel like it's bad business to do it the way she did it. And it does seem like she took advantage of the friendship, saying, oh, we're friends, so I can just get away with doing it.
Charging you. Yeah.
And she did lose a customer because she was like, yeah, no, this is not normal. You shouldn't have done it like this.
Right.
I feel like you're wrong for that, so I'm probably just going to go to somebody else.
And she straight up said, I'm just doing this because I've had a lot of no-shows this past week, so I have to make up my money, so I'm taking your money to make up for the other thing. That's kind of...
That ain't on me.
No.
Yeah.
And it, from the business aspect of things, it's also good to just cover your own tail. Like, if you have it in writing somewhere, like, oh, yeah, this is a clear policy.
Right.
Like, at the shop. He has this list of rules.
Your barber shop.
Yeah, my barber shop. He has this list of rules. But
everywhere.
Like,
there's signs everywhere.
There's signs. Like, if you miss it, you weren't looking, pretty much. But one of them is like, if you don't show up the next time you make an appointment, you're paying for the last one, too. So it's there. It's plain and simple.
Top comment, last 30 seconds here. Your thinking is very reasonable, especially since you gave her free haircuts in the past. And somebody else said, your friend kind of sucks for that. I'm sorry. I wouldn't continue to give her any business either. And if she asked, I'd explain why plainly, without accusation. I'd quit seeing any professional who arbitrarily charged me fees without it being agreed upon stipulation. And a friend should be no different. If she complained, I'd ask her why she thought it was appropriate to do that to anyone, much less a friend.
Right. No, because I think it's good to hear this story, because I think people are usually used to the other side where sometimes your friends are kind of taking advantage of you a little bit for your businesses. And this did not seem like OP was doing that at all. But there are times where you're like, friends like, hey, let me do what I want, or like, slide me that discount, or let me treat you however I want to treat you, which kind of seems similar to your situation where I'm like, because of your relationship, you expect certain things to happen. And that's why I'm like Sam saying, sometimes it is difficult to mix the relationship with friendship, but usually clear guidelines and like rules and contracts and all that stuff can ease that out. Because I do think as a friend and family, there should be some perk. I don't think you should be taken advantage of, but I'm like, it should benefit me, because I want to benefit your business by supporting your business, and it should benefit me a little bit because we have a relationship. That doesn't always mean like a discount, but I'm like, I should get some consideration in that. I think that's like the benefit. Like, why do I have friends?
Yeah.
Why do I have family if I don't get it's nothing? You're just my friend for nothing.
You get love and support.
Nah, man. That can't pay my rent, man.
Oh, man. Here we go.
How can you help me? That's what I see friendship as.
She said, I need benefits.
Like this.
That seems like a transition. Like, that was such a transition.
I was like, that's messed up.
Oh,
I'm just talking to you like a friend. Like,
there you go.
Do you expect something from it, Sam? Nothing's happening.
I do want to shout out my massage therapist, Nina, who I think She saw us on Instagram, and I don't know if she watches full episodes, but like, I think it was like 6 months ago, she sent like a strongly worded email about no shows. Like, it was strong. I had to show me. I was like, I'm like, Nina, are you okay? Because I didn't even talk to her. I'm like, I try to bring it up, like, so I'm like, so that email, that was crazy, right? And she went on a whole thing about it again. And
your massage started getting a little rough. Yeah. Like, okay.
Well, oh, okay.
I asked her after. Thank God I asked her after, because she probably would have been like, I've been paralyzed. I'm like, ah! But I'm like, it is a thing where, especially like barbers and stuff, where your lateness can push my next appointment back, and then that could have a effect that affects my whole day, and you actually are losing me money. So I do think it's important to have those rules, and it's not saying that OP can do anything with this crash. Like, the crash happens, stuff happens all the time, but these rules should be made for people who are habitual. They do this all the time, and they're constantly taking advantage of you. That's what the rules are for. They're not, I guess I don't see them as like,
not like first time offenders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Give me some grace, man. Tell me some slack.
Especially knowing the situation around it. Like, you can't, you really can't help an accident.
Right.
And especially if it's a route you always take, you're like, I know I'm gonna be on time if I take this route. And you see the accident, you're like, hey, I'm not gonna make it on time. This route is completely different than what I'm used to.
Yep.
And that's fair. I feel like that should be fair.
Okay, so this next one is also from r/comfortlevelpod.
What? Yeah.
You're treating us today.
Am I the asshole for not letting anyone know I had given birth?
For not letting anyone know.
Not even your family?
Well, mainly them.
Oh, that's the primary.
It depends on your family.
Am I the asshole for not letting anyone know I had given birth? I, 21, female, gave birth December 2023. Throughout the last few weeks of my pregnancy, my sister, 28, female, called daily to check if I was in labor. She would tell me that I had to call her as soon as I was on my way to the hospital. I would always answer, no, I won't, haha. I didn't think she was for real, seeing as we weren't really that close. A little background, my sister left the house when I was 9 and we didn't interact much until I was 18. When I was 18, she came to my graduation, fixed me up for the occasion, and a few months later offered me a job. I lived with her for a little less than a year until I got married, and every other month or so, we would have dinner. Back to the story. The last week is here, and she calls to ask how I'm feeling because she was going out of town and wanted to know if I felt like I was going to give birth soon so she could stay. I told her to go, that everything was fine. I felt like I could breathe somewhat, and she would text me every day. Even if I didn't answer, she would call or ask my mom to call my husband. Sometimes I was just sleeping and she would wake me up. I know she was only trying to show she cared, but she knows me. I'm not a particularly loving person and our personalities clash a lot. I've always been pretty distant from the family. The big day comes around and I'm going to the hospital where they said it would be a while. We didn't tell a soul, and after 16 hours, our baby boy was born. My sister called and I acted as if nothing had happened. I wanted to enjoy our baby, the experience. I wanted it to be intimate, only my husband and I. Well, the day we left the hospital, we sent them a picture in the group chat. Oh. It was my sister, my brother-in-law, my mom, and us. They thought it was a joke at first, until they realized it was real. My sister said, if this is real, tell your wife she can forget she has a sister. My brother-in-law stayed silent. I mentioned I wanted it to be us for the birth. My mom said, how could you do this to us? My sister left the group chat. My brother-in-law and my mom followed. It's been 8 months and they have never met my baby. I found out they moved out of state, but I haven't heard from them since the day we left the hospital. Am I the asshole? And then there's edits.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think you are not the nicest because you could, I know your sister was annoying you, but she really did care. And that's maybe how she shows she cares, even though it's annoying. I feel like you should have maybe communicated that, saying, yes, I'll let you know when I have him. I'll send you pictures, but I don't want family or I don't want anybody but me and my husband up here at the hospital. I don't feel they would have been as hurt. And then if they didn't accept your thing, then that would be a whole different thing. But I feel like you should have gave him a, like, hey, yeah, he's here. Not just randomly sending him a picture of you already having him on your way home.
Yep, I definitely agree. I think I understand, especially from what you explained, OP, that you and your family don't really seem that close. But it really could have just been communication of like, hey, I really want it to be just us. I appreciate you doing this, but I feel like you're suffocating me. You know, just letting her know, because she didn't know that. And so she's just being completely blindsided.
Right.
It is your birth. It is about you and your husband. But it might have been a lot easier and a little bit better for them as well if you could have just said how you were feeling instead of just not saying anything and then just waiting until that day. Yeah.
Yeah, because I agree. I think the real asshole's part is when sister asked, hey, is the baby here? The baby was there and just didn't say anything. I'm like,
stayed silent. Yeah.
What was the reason for that? That just seemed like, I don't even get what the decision behind that would be to me. And maybe she was scared, like, oh, if I tell them now, they're going to come and I don't want that. Then it's like you, both of you said, like, communication is what was needed the entire time. Like, this is what I expect from my pregnancy. This is how I want the delivery to go. And you can respect those boundaries. But you didn't give them a chance to.
Right.
So this is why you're getting this big reaction, because they never got the chance to even communicate. They're hearing all about this right now when you send a picture of the baby. You happy with the baby?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it makes them think that you don't even care about them, right, or don't want mm-hmm. them in your life or the baby's life. So I can see that their side a little bit, but it's also 8 months is a long time.
Yeah, because it's like they expressed what they wanted and their involvement in the relationship that you guys have when the baby was going to come in. It could have just been as simple as, hey, I appreciate that, but redirecting them to what you guys want and what is going to happen for your family. I am sorry, though, that they're seemingly cutting you off. Yeah. But it does make me think about, too, again, OP doesn't seem like she's close to the family. Like, you know, she didn't really seem like she had a relationship with her sister in the beginning to even, you know, she seemed like she was weirded out by her sister even being that interested in the baby in the first place, because she said that, you know, when she turned 18, she had gotten a job and lived with her sister for about a year. And then after that, it was, I think she said every few months, maybe dinner.
Every month.
Mm-hmm. Every month. So
that's why it was weird to me.
That's
I'm like,
close.
I'm like, that is close.
That
I'm
is
like,
close.
She got you a job. True. She lived with you. And then you have dinner every week. That's close for a sibling.
Maybe,
I don't think it's close for a sibling, but I'm like, that's a fairly good relationship for a sibling.
You're not doing that with
so it's not weird that your sibling wants to know your
be in your
kid
life, yeah,
and talk to you about bringing another person to the family. That's not strange. It might be strange for OP, who's like, yeah, I'm just not.
Who just doesn't feel that
like
way. That.
But what you described is like someone who's like, yes, I'm interested in you as a person.
Yeah.
Right.
That, because that's what I was thinking too. I was like, wait. She says, she's claiming, yeah, we're not that close, but doing all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm like, that made me laugh.
Is not doing that.
Acquaintance
is not meeting up with you. An acquaintance might meet up with you once every 4 months or like quarterly.
Right.
We have our quarterly friendship meeting.
Quarterly friendship meeting. That's an acquaintance. But it's like, no, she seemed very active. But the only thing that is weird to me is how OP said that they weren't that close and just how big the reaction was. If they really did move out, they didn't speak to them for 6. I understand being upset, but like not speaking for 6 months, 8 months hasn't met the child. And that's the thing you were upset about.
Not even living in the same state anymore.
Yeah. Like wouldn't, at least for me, like I would be upset on the other side of it. I would be upset, but they wouldn't garner enough of me to be upset so much to the point I don't even meet the child. But I don't, yeah.
Well, that's where I feel like pride and family gets involved, where I could see that happening, where mm-hmm. you hurt me so much, you hurt my feelings, that I'm too proud to
communicate that.
Yeah, and I'm going to just turn the other cheek and just say, I'm going to go meet the kid. Because me meeting the kid means, to the, probably in their eyes, like,
you. I allowed that.
I allowed it to happen. It's okay what you did.
Yeah.
Even though I don't think that's right either. I'm like, I think you're like, you should go meet the kid. You want to meet the kid. This right, is a part of your down. Family. It is important to you. That's why you're making this giant reaction. But I do want to say that 8 months is a long time, but it's also a short time. There's still time for this to flip the other way and like someone to be the bigger person and cut off this thing. So it might not be soon, but I'm like a couple years maybe. And they're like, okay, I want to meet the kid.
So as you're saying that, has OP tried to reach out at all, or is she just waiting for them to contact her?
Yeah, I don't think she's necessarily tried.
So then they're probably tired of pushing themselves into her life, especially after saying that she did all that. And then you can only push people away for so long, and then, or just like not try, I mm-hmm. guess.
Okay, so edit, because I don't know, there's an interesting aspect with the other side of the family that I think maybe brings them some questions. So I'm going to read that. And it, I think people are under the impression that we are alone. We do take care of the baby ourselves, but we are not alone. Baby has my husband's side of the family who are very much present. They called every day to check on the baby and waited until we went to visit them to meet baby. They cooked us meals on several occasions and never once were upset they weren't told day of. As a matter of fact, months later, when my baby's cousin was born, her parents did the exact same thing we did. I also know it's no excuse, but my sister has always been very controlling, which is why I didn't say anything, because I knew I would be forced to be okay with whatever she wanted. I didn't call to announce baby because I had just given birth and I didn't want to argue with anyone. Edit number two. I read that someone said they pity my child or feel bad for him since I'm not a loving person. Let me clarify then. I love my baby and I love my husband. They very much know that. I'm not particularly loving with my family. It may help to know that I'm not, because they pushed me aside as I was growing up. They showed me it was not safe to show love towards them. It was not wanted. I learned quickly, and after several nights crying as a child, my only safe space was my grandmother. She raised me. We spoke daily as long as she could answer. And I do not favor my husband's side. They simply made their presence in my baby's life known. I do not have any special treatment with them. They found out the same time as everyone else and simply treated it differently. The only ones not present are my sister and my mom, as my aunts, uncles, cousins, and little sister have met the baby and called to see him. Edit number three. Thank you to everyone for the good and the bad. I can see my mistake more than anything was not making my boundaries clear. As for those saying I do not love my family, there is too much to our background for anyone to know. I do not expect anyone to understand my reasons. That being said, it does not mean I do not love my family. If I didn't, this situation wouldn't be on my mind on the daily. Anyways, thank you. So just a little bit more context, because I did think it was weird, but then once I read the edits, I was like, okay, I just think there must be something going on her side of the family where she seemingly is a lot more accepting of the other family. Again, whether it was, again, I was just going to say whether it was a matter of communication, but she does clarify that it was more than that. Like, her sister has a control issue. Mm-hmm. So it's even more than, you know, her expressing what she wants, because it sounds like sister would push through that. So maybe she just chose not to communicate anymore through that. She'd rather just not say anything and then have sister not know, because then she doesn't have to deal with sister fighting back. So if she doesn't communicate anything, then she gets her way and sister will find out later. And if sister wants to be okay with that, then that's fine.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But, you know, yeah, that's like, what she chose. I know neither path is necessarily, communicating would have been better.
Correct. And she acknowledged that.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, in a sense, she was just protecting her peace.
Yeah.
From all of it. Because, I mean, yeah, we only get a little side of it. So she knows how her sister was going to be. We didn't know that necessarily. So, yeah, I could see why she did that then. If it was just to kind of strip away the power from a controlling person, I could see that.
But I do think it is telling the relationships on the different sides of the family and how it seemingly is a lot easier with one side of the family, and maybe meaning that there's less strife or less, you know, drama or trauma.
That's the right word. Yeah.
You know?
I think it's like family stuff is always a matter of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like the partner could just have a better relationship with his family. Like, he probably has less trauma because it does sound like OP went through some things that felt like she could only felt like she got love from her grandmother. So she didn't feel close to her family. And that's why she doesn't feel this closeness. But because of that upbringing and that strife, then her perspective of relationships now is still informed by this whole thing. I see this in my own family where you're like, I'm not necessarily meeting you where you are now. Like, your family members can grow. They can become better people. They can learn from the mistakes, but you're still seeing them in that time where they hurt you. And it's very hard for people to move past that. So whether they have grown up and matured or not, you're probably just still seeing them as that. Even if when your sister came at 18, it seemed like she was trying something. She did do things for you, and maybe that was her turning on a new leaf. She seems older. I'm guessing there must be a big age difference if you didn't see her from 9 to 18. I'm guessing she's a lot older. So it's like that. Maybe that was her olive leaf. Like, I know I wasn't there for you. And probably knowing how the family is like, I wasn't there for you in this critical time in your life. I was just gone. So this is me trying to repair that relationship. And you're just like, well, I just know you left me. And that's hard to move on past. And then that informs anything going on where you're still making decisions based on that.
Especially with probably most familiar trauma where they just say, let's move on from it instead of addressing what happened. So maybe when she came back and was doing that, it's like, well, I still remember the 9+ years or even more when, you know, I was ignored from my entire family. And maybe that meant, oh, her sister as well as her mom. So not addressing that, like, it's still there. It's like that little like open wound that just kind of the scab breaks through every once in a while. So if it's not addressed, I mean, family drama, even like my own family drama that I still think about to this day, sometimes things can happen and it comes out in different ways. Like,
yeah,
there's things I've been talking about I need to address now where like my drama that used to be sadness is now coming out as anger. And I was like, oh, I need to work on this.
Yeah. But I'm finding like a lot of those family dramas, at least in my experience of therapy, is like, you can't necessarily put it on your family. I have to deal with the situation for myself because I can't rest on them meeting, like needing their response to something.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. And even if it does happen, it's probably not going to happen the way you want it to happen. They're not going to say what you want to say. So for you to truly heal and move on from it, it's going to be something from your side,
inside,
which sucks. I don't think it's always the greatest, but I'm like, that's usually what has to happen.
Mm. Yeah.
Especially with family.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of family stuff, but the way I look at it is, am I going to let it change who I am as a person? Like, I'm not going to treat anybody any different unless it's something absolutely whatever. Anyway, with my family, I want to be happy. I don't, that's what I strive for. I want to be happy. So I'm not going to sit there and dwell on that. I'm not going to wait for them to say, oh, I'm sorry or anything like that. Like, it's not going to happen. And if they do, it's going to be some half-assed.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're just saying it to try to appease me now. So I prefer to be happy. So what I do is you literally have to learn how to forgive people without an apology, without anything, for yourself, because it literally lets so much go. Like,
either my mom, dad, someone, they say forgiveness is not for the other person, it's for you. So
it is.
Because it's such a freeing process. And when you don't forgive, especially family members that hurt you, that resentment can sometimes hold on so hard to your like personality that it becomes an action. It becomes a part of who you are. When if you would just let it go,
right,
you wouldn't act out in anger when you feel like you're cornered, or you wouldn't do all these bad things you don't want to do because you technically have a past situation just that you just want to hold on to and you don't want to let go of it. Because you think it's a part of you, but it's like it's never was supposed to be like.
Yeah.
I do want to add, though, I feel like maybe more specific. I mean, maybe this is more specific to a situation I'm thinking about. But when it comes to like the communication aspect that OP even says that she could have been better about. When it comes to stuff like openly ignoring recent things that are happening that need to be addressed, I feel like that's sometimes harder to move past in a conversation. So the example of OP's sister constantly talking about how much involvement she's going to have in her baby's life and then trying to have a conversation, any conversation past that about the baby compared to just being like, hey, so we're not going to do that, or this is what I'm going to do. Because I feel like, yeah, moving on to things that are in the past, more of like what OP's talking about in her past, but the recent things, I feel like it's better sometimes to push through and actually have a conversation about instead of like letting it go underneath the surface, you know?
Well, yeah,
so I think I agree. Like yes and no, but to certain situations.
I think those are two different things to me. Think a lot of the things we're talking about is like past traumas where you know the person, you talked about this with them, they've either shown disregard or they don't care. Mm-hmm. Then I'm like, at that point, I'm like, I know who you are. I'm doing this forgiveness for me to get rid of that situation. This situation seems like because of whatever past relationship we've had, we've got into this routine where OP's sister is going to push past my boundaries and I'm going to be passive and not say anything about it. Then from my perspective, I'm like, that's something I need to work on. I need to be able to voice my boundaries. Because once I voice my boundaries and she still pushes past it, then she's in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's me not voicing my boundaries. OP's sister doesn't know. But once OP's sisters know and she still pushes back, I'm like, then you're the bad guy. And then I can make decisions accordingly. I'm like, okay, you're not going to be in my kid's life. Or like those decisions. But I'm like, I never gave you the opportunity to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is comes from a person who I'm like, I don't think I'm passive. But because of my, I don't want conflict usually, I joke around a lot and I don't talk about the real issues. So people are like, oh, I didn't know that really made you mad or offended you. Because I never was upfront about it. I was never honest about it. So I can't be mad at them for saying, oh, you didn't. I'm mad at them because I'm like, you did that. I'm like, well, you didn't tell me.
Mm-hmm.
That's my job to do that. And I think that's what OP, I'm glad you have your family, you have your husband, you have OP side, and I think they're probably giving you some strength that hopefully if they do talk to you again, you can say, I'm glad we're talking again, but here's my boundaries and here's what I expect with my family and this is what I want, and you can voice that to them.
I have a question. Does she lead with that? Like if they come back,
I wouldn't lead with it.
Where would be a good place to put, like towards the, because at least for me, I think it would be better towards the end. Like if everything gets resolved, well, not everything, but like a good chunk of things get resolved. Like, okay, now that we can comfortable enough, here's where I draw the line at. And I can set those clear boundaries now that it's technically a new relationship after working through it, if they get to work through it. But
I guess if you're having a conversation in the joining together about here's what happened, mm-hmm. and then you can go on to be like, here's how we maybe not have it happen in the future. You could bring it up then.
I will say that I do tend to, like if somebody, I have a hard time saying no to people.
That's how we got her here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just kidding.
She didn't want to be here.
Can we push it back to 8, Sammy? Yeah.
Yeah, even though I'm in bed by 8:30. No, I'm kidding. No. But I have a hard time of saying no, so sometimes I just won't respond.
Mm-hmm.
But I have had people tell me that, hey, this actually hurts my feelings and called me out on my bullshit. And it actually, like, it made me think, okay, from their perspective, yeah, it looks like I'm just being a jerk and just completely ignoring them when in reality I just can't say no.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easier for me now that I know that it hurts people's feelings. It's easier for me to now say no rather than just not try to.
It's a lot anything. Easier to like ignore it than it is to be like
confront
no.
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know about this. I do that. When I tried to invite myself along to the Justin Timberlake concert. And I had talked to Maddie about it, and Maddie was like, oh, yeah, she doesn't like saying no. And I could feel in the text from Sam, she was like, oh.
Because was like, I having you read her text messages or something? Yeah. And I was translating for her. I said, she doesn't want to go with you, Sam. She's being really nice. Like, she doesn't want to go.
Me, no, it was just me being a jerk and like, I'm coming on the trip. And Sam was like, oh, you... I get too crazy, so I don't know if you want to see me. I'm like, you can say no to me.
I just don't like saying, I don't know.
But it made me laugh because I was like, oh yeah, that's very visible that she does not want to say no.
Yeah, I was like, you have two Sams that are very excited about the Justin Timberlake concert. One of them is like, well, I can go too. And the other one doesn't want to be like, well, I'm going with my sister.
And not you.
And not you. And I might see you there, but I'm not trying to go with you. But that is kind of a hard thing to say. And so I think it's just helpful to have, she happens to know a cousin who would be like, she doesn't want to go. So. Yeah.
But I would have went with you if it wasn't me being like him right here. And me.
And then me right here.
And then like me.
Justin's here and I'm right here.
And she just like sees you in your peripheral and then Justin ends up looking at you instead of Sammy. And she's like. Am I the asshole for neglecting my partner's feelings after he dismissed mine?
Neglecting my partner's
feelings. After he dismissed. That don't sound good.
It don't sound good.
It sounds bad either way. Yeah.
Sounds petty though.
I, 24 female, and my boyfriend, 23 male, have been together for almost 4 years. We've had our ups and downs, but I'm starting to wonder if I'm the asshole in this situation. Last week, my boyfriend went on a week-long trip for a certification course. There was a girl in his class who I suspected might be flirting with him. I told him, I feel like she's flirting with you. Please either bring it up or put some distance between you two. She was getting personal and physical with him, which made me feel uncomfortable. My boyfriend brushed it off each time, saying, this isn't a big deal. I don't see why this is bothering you so much. On the last day, she high-fived him, only him, and congratulated him. I was upset, but he insisted there was nothing to worry about. I trusted him, but the way he kept dismissing me hurt my feelings. For context, he's uncomfortable with me being affectionate with males who are not family or the one friend I had during college, and I've always respected his boundaries, so it felt like he wasn't doing the same for me. Or at least not showing enough concern about how I felt. We argued about this, and he kept saying he'd never take another course if it meant I'd keep bringing it up. I trust him, but it was the way he dismissed my feelings that hurt, especially since I've been open about how uncomfortable I was. Here's where I might be the asshole. Today, we argued in Walmart because I misspoke while giving him directions to find a snack. I said, my right, when we were both facing the same direction. It was autopilot. I usually say my right, my left at work, and I apologize, but he kept pressing, and I said, this isn't a big deal. I don't see why this is bothering you so much. I probably shouldn't have said that, but it wasn't that I didn't care. I just didn't understand why it was such a big deal when it really just seemed like a minor miscommunication. He accused me of not caring about his feelings and neglecting him. I was frustrated, and I let my words slip. When we got home, he asked me to leave him alone. 2 hours later, he came into my office to ask if I thought I'd been on my best behavior. I was caught off guard and said we both could have done better, but he said no, specifically you. I asked if he wanted a girlfriend who was submissive and on her best behavior 24/7, and his answer was yes and no. I asked him if he thought he neglected my feelings during our argument about the girl from his class, and he said that was different. That this wasn't about him, but that it was about me. And that threw me off and I went for a walk. I've always listened to his feelings, even during fights, but now I'm wondering if I actually might have been dismissing his feelings the same way he dismissed mine. I don't want to ignore his needs, but I'm feeling like my own feelings keep getting overlooked. So am I the asshole for neglecting my partner's feelings after he did the exact same to me? And then there's some edits and context, but what's your initial feelings about this?
What were the feelings that were neglected in the my right thing?
Right. Yeah. I was like, this is a very different situation. Okay. Like, there are two different situations.
We might need to read it. But I think it was her saying my right and then him being like, well, what do you mean by that? Like,
we're facing the same.
I don't know that because that's all she says.
Yeah, well, because she's like, we're facing the same direction. I said my right. He's like, it's our right, babe. She's like, okay.
Do you guys feel like you need more to...
I feel like that's the argument,
I feel like
right?
he went to the wrong place. Like he said, she said my right, even though...
Why does it get to be your right?
Because they were both facing the same direction, though.
It's right? both of our rights.
So it's both... It's the same thing.
How
yeah.
dare you say my right?
So he just got confused in the first place. So
yeah, she said it was a minor miscommunication. She didn't mean to say it. She was just used to saying that. And so he must have been making a big deal about her being like, my right.
It's actually easier because I'm like, oh, yeah, we're facing the same way. So her right's my right. So I know where she means.
So I wonder if he went down the wrong snack aisle or wrong aisle, couldn't find the snacks.
How?
He had to go on the
same
other
direction.
Side of the
it's my right.
He had to go on the
right.
other side of the store, and that's why he's so mad. I don't know.
I'm so
that's
confused.
What I was, that's what I was thinking. Fight. I was like, okay, so he's mad he had to go on a scavenger hunt, but you're grown.
But
you
you're
can
walking.
Find yourself around a store.
It's Walmart. It shouldn't. The only thing I would say, maybe, I think he blew it out of proportion for sure, but I think the argument of direction giving is normal, but just don't blow it out of proportion. And that's what happened here.
Oh, it's that's just a joke to me. Like,
yeah.
When that comes, like my right, I'm like, it's our right. Like I would joke about that. I don't get where the fight comes in unless it's about, that's like a fight that's about something else.
That's what I was going to say. Is there something else?
Like we're
that
fighting,
he's mad
but we're not
about.
Fighting about this. We're fighting about something else, but this is a, you just annoyed me with this. So I'm going to bring it, make this
so like
a bigger
a
deal.
Last camel straw. Type thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or him, yeah, him just picking a fight. Because I was gonna say, from what I understand from the story right now, there is nothing for him to be upset about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it sounds like he's nitpicking. And even then, for him to try and put the blame on her to be like, babe, I feel like you're dismissing my feelings. What feelings when it was just a minor miscommunication? I feel like you're blowing this out of proportion. You're making this a big deal. Thinking of it from like an actual relationship status, it's probably not great to throw a completely different situation into the mix and be like,
yeah,
it's worse. This is similar to, you know, because thinking about it in our situation, it's probably not, it's not good to go tit for tat like that.
Oh,
like
it's never good.
Establish.
Never. Right.
This is, you're not crazy, but you're crazy. OP's boyfriend for thinking this is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird that you're blowing this out of proportion, but you know what wasn't blown out of proportion that should have been the way that you like weren't addressing my feelings in this situation.
Yeah.
Cause that's a rightful conversation. I think you guys should have that. I'm sorry that he is, in my opinion too, because the moment you say, hey, I'm uncomfortable with this, he should do something to either reassure you or change the situation. It's not like you're an insecure girl. If you're like, I feel like she's hitting
well,
on
that's
him.
That's where I kind of want to be like, in this story specifically, I do think OP is right. But earlier in the story, I'm like, this does seem like insecurity. And I do think you should care about what your partner's saying, but there's certain points where you're like, okay, she high-fived me and she shows me attention. Yeah, maybe she likes me. That has nothing to do with our relationship. And I do think it is insecurity at a point where I'm with you. It's not a thing. Now, if he, the part that I don't like is him saying, I don't want you to like have any affection
yeah,
with your male.
Standard.
The double standard I don't like. That's where I'm like, okay,
for
this
sure.
is shady then. If why does it work for you, but it doesn't work for her? But like just in general, I'm like, no, you it should be fine. But him having the double standard is what makes me mad. And then I'm like, okay, then now this is shady that you're not holding yourself to the same standard that you're expecting her to be held to.
Well, you said it and I agree with it. You're like, I feel like there's a certain level before it gets to being like maybe okay, babe, you're kind of trying to yeah. control me. But there is a certain level of reassurance that you can give her. And even like those videos on TikTok where the guy maybe thinks another girl's attractive and he's not like mean to her, but he's like ignoring her. Those are funny. And I think those are hyperbole to a certain extent. I'm sure couples actually really do that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is, you don't have to keep interacting with her as much if you clearly see that it's bothering your girlfriend or you're like, I can tell that you like me. So I don't want to give you the wrong impression by seeming interested in you to continue a conversation. Maybe if we're in a general vicinity, but it's not like I'm going out of my way to continue to have these solo conversations like you're having. But maybe that's an arguable thing of like, well, you're still doing that because your girl doesn't feel secure right. in that situation. And maybe that's a different situation. But anyway, I think there are two different situations. I can't remember exactly how it was, but if you brought that up in place of this situation, maybe not the best thing to do.
Yeah.
But I think you're valid in, again, the double standards that he has for you.
And OP, for your question, they're not comparable. Like, this situation
yeah.
is not
no.
comparable, really.
At all.
And also, I don't know why he, it seems like he's picking a fight with you in this situation. I don't fully understand what's happening
That's
here.
That's a suspicious thing.
Right.
Because people pick fight like, just, I mean, we're like experts now. We've listened to a lot of Reddit stories. And when people cheat, they feel guilty and they pick fights.
Yeah.
I don't want to go there, but I'm like, it just seems like that's what happens. Like people just, they just get antsy and they're like, and they just like get annoyed at everything their partner does and they pick a fight to start something.
It's like the projection. Like yeah, everything was wrong with the relationship, even though I'm doing the bad.
I'm a bad guy, actually.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like we were watching something the other day. We were talking about a different story and somebody was basically saying something along the lines of, or maybe it was a TikTok video or something that you and I were watching, but it was basically like, if somebody's picking a fight with you over very small things, then you have a general bigger issue in the relationship. It must have been a TikTok video, but you have a bigger issue in the relationship, but it's a lot easier for you to pick on little things because they can be resolved quickly too, compared to the big thing in the background that may or may not be able to be resolved as quickly and it's going to take more time. So you end up nitpicking little things in the relationship. I don't remember where I heard that from, but
I think it was a TikTok.
But yeah. Any other words before we get to maybe some more understanding?
Oh, let's do it.
Trigger warning essay.
Oh, shoot.
So edit. Hi, everyone. I just want to say thank you to everyone who commented on here first. I've been trying to read all the comments, but there are a lot, so it's taking me a while. I just want to edit to add some context and information. One, the girl I'm referencing to in this post is not a colleague of his. His company paid for the course and her company paid for her course. They're strangers to one another, so it's not like I'm trying to take away a relationship with a colleague. I see a few comments criticizing the high five aspect of the story, so here are my feelings towards it. I just want to clarify that it was not the high five that I'm upset about. I couldn't care less that it was a high five. If she hugged him or like kissed him on the cheek, I would say that is what I was upset about. But a high five is a high five and I genuinely didn't care. My feelings are more stemming from the fact that I asked him to put some distance between them and it didn't really seem like my feelings were taken seriously or my request was taken seriously. I've seen a couple people ask if I really trust him or say that he might be projecting cheating, and that I would just like to clarify that I do genuinely trust my partner. I've only had other issues with someone, but that was more so of his mother, not anything he did. That's a whole different story. I'm not insecure in my relationship and I'm very secure in myself. I don't think I'm going to take these comments and run with them without definitive proof of something that is happening. Another reason why I do not suspect him of cheating is because immediately when he would leave class, he would call me and he would be the one to push doing FaceTime sleepovers while he was gone. Number four, I think a couple of people have taken his feelings towards me having male friends a little differently, and that's probably on me. I probably could have worded it better. He has no problems with me showing affection towards male family members or a male friend I had while I was in college who he knows and likes. To give you more context, he doesn't want me hanging out with males he hasn't vetted yet. I understand his reasoning behind this for a few reasons. One, both his parents are serial cheaters, and he has seen them be inappropriately affectionate with other people who are not each other. And two, the last time I hung out with a male he hadn't met yet was a couple of months into our relationship when a male I considered a friend essayed me in my dorm room. I'm not going out of my way to be friends with a male because of my feelings towards unknown men, not because of him. On to the update everybody's been waiting for. My boyfriend and I had a very serious conversation on Tuesday about our relationship and our outlook on everything. I did not tell him about this post, nor did I show it to him. This is not because of his feelings, but because I need a place to voice things where he is not involved in. I listen to this podcast, he does not. Here are some key takeaways from that conversation. One, I told him that I needed him to listen to me, not just to listen and respond. I told him that I felt like my feelings came second to his. I told him that I felt disregarded and unworthy of sharing my feelings. He said that our feelings are on equal terms, but you just talk about yours more than anything else. That's what he said. And then two is to be continued, and she hasn't updated. So that's where we're at.
Hmm.
Where the conversation just ended there?
Yeah. So...
Oh.
So, I don't know.
So she cleared up his reason for not wanting him to, not wanting her to hang around other dudes. So that's fine. So it doesn't seem like so controlling now, right? But as far as I'm still confused about the why he was so mad about the directions to the snack.
I think we focused on that so much that maybe top comment will bring us back to a line that he said that we all completely forgot about. So top comment, why on earth would you want a boyfriend who asked if you've been on your best behavior? You're a child. Yeah. If he wants a submissive partner, run. We totally forgot about that part.
Oh, I didn't forget. I did.
But no,
it was like right here.
And it was like the biggest thing of it. Because I remember when I was reading it, I was like, oh, we're about to talk about this.
I had a reaction when he said that. I said,
yeah.
I don't know why we didn't talk about that.
I mean, if that's what you want to be, then you can be that. But obviously that's what he wants. And it doesn't sound like you want to be that. So.
Oh, because he fixed it. Because she was like, do you want a submissive partner? And he was like, yes and no. So that fixes it.
No.
Okay.
She still said that shit.
Bad.
Never mind. Still bad.
Oh. Okay. Fixed it.
Yeah. No. I don't know. I think there's a lot of different aspects of the story. Even with the context that OP gave, there's still a lot of different things. But I would definitely say that whole situation about have you been on your best behavior? And then she straight up asks him, do you want a submissive partner? And he says yes and no. If you don't want to be a submissive partner, then that's probably a really big sign that's going to maybe continue.
Maybe talk about that more. Yes and no. What does that mean?
Do you think you're on your best behavior? That's so demeaning.
I don't know what I would have done if somebody asked me that. Like, I'd be like,
do you think you were on your best behavior?
I can't say that, but what do you, what?
That's gross.
Hey, Sam, are you on your best behavior, right?
Sam, you're about to get whooped. No. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, no.
The eyes were not kidding.
No.
It was all in the eyes. It just.
That's what
I'm I'm kidding. But I don't know. I just think it's.
Sam's we're going to move on from that, Sam.
Okay.
I'm trying my hardest to keep looking this way.
Don't look
at him.
It's only getting worse, actually.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no. Start swinging the feet.
What is happening? Oh.
Even though I think it's a little thing, I do think that what he said about our feelings are on similar levels, but you just talk about them more. Just from my experience where I've been in relationships, I do feel that's true. And I do think a lot of it was my fault where I'm like, I'm not voicing my things or voicing when something's affecting me. I just kind of lock it in. I'm trying to get better at voicing it. But it does seem like sometimes me being a man in a relationship with women are like, yeah, I'm saying this and this and this. And I'm like, okay. I also have those things where I was like, I don't feel like talking about it. Yeah. And whether that's me being a man conditioned and not speak about emotions or whether like I just don't feel like they're necessary to talk about, it does feel like because you're talking about it more, you feel like your emotions are more important than mine.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be my perception or it could be whatever's in the relationship. So I would just encourage people, at least men, to be like, closed mouths don't get fed. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you do need to voice your things. And it's better because what I would do is like, she would go like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, 2 months ago, this, that's bad. Like Maddie's saying, like bringing up something that's not in the situation, like it's petty. It's like you were holding on to this instead of just voicing it at the time. So like being more upfront with your emotions and trying to voice those things beforehand is helpful in a relationship you're not holding on to grudges. Even as a man, you're like, I don't feel like I want to talk. Like, you probably should just maybe say something just to get it off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause even I struggle with that too. And I think it might be more that the man being conditioned not to speak aspect of things, but I literally have to like, there'll be times I literally like have to sit for like 5 minutes. Like, cause everything in me is just like, nah, don't say nothing. Mm-hmm. Don't say nothing. You're not going to care about it in 5 minutes. Don't even say anything. And I'm like, no, because it's not fair to her. If I'm going through something, it's not fair to her that she doesn't know about it. Or at least something to maybe, if it is like on a me thing or if we can course correct it, let's just try to do it. So it does feel uncomfortable and awkward to do, but it's better than not doing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because then if you bottle all that up, it's a struggle. Because sometimes I don't even still do it, but it's like, you know, just at least keep trying.
Yeah.
And that's all you can do at the end of the day.
Totally agree.
All right. So this next story is, would I be the asshole to divorce my wife after she said she wanted to send our son to a conversion camp? So this is a pretty heavy situation, and I'm really confused and disgusted, not going to lie, because I've never thought my wife was like this. My wife, 44 female, and I, 45 male, have been married for 14 years. We have two kids, a 16-year-old son, let's call him Noah, and a 12-year-old daughter. We've had our fair share of disagreements over the years, of course, but things have been generally smooth between us. Now for the context, Noah came out as gay about a year ago. It was a surprise, and as hard as it was to accept, I love my kids more than anything and I just want their happiness. My wife visibly didn't take it well though. She was upset and she seemed to go through a grieving period where she didn't really talk about it. I tried to support Noah in every way I could, telling him that I loved him no matter what, etc. My wife though, I could tell she wasn't on the same page. She would say things like, this is just a phase, or he needs help. But I brushed it off as her needing time. Fast forward to last week, we were having a conversation about Noah's future. Out of nowhere, my wife casually mentions that she's been looking into conversion therapy camps and thinks it might be the right solution. She says that Noah isn't really gay and that he just hasn't been shown the right path and that this could fix him. My blood ran cold, obviously. I was in shock. I immediately told her I didn't agree and that it was not something I could support. She got upset and said that I was enabling Noah's confusion and that if I really cared about him, I would help him get better. What the fuck is wrong with her? She was persistent, and no matter how much I tried to explain that conversion therapy is harmful, like I know those kids get abused and often end up either traumatized or ending themselves. And that I would never send our son to something like that. She wouldn't back down. If I'm being 100% honest, I don't even think I love her anymore. The fact that she could be so heartless disgusts me. I know being gay is not easy and people like her just make it even harder. I'm considering staying only for our daughter's sake, but would it be okay if it means hurting my son? It feels like a betrayal to Noah. I just don't think I can keep living with someone who thinks this is okay.
Woo. 14 years and you didn't know she was that way though. Oof, that's
yeah, I don't know, because maybe he thought that maybe she wouldn't be the most accepting of it, but eventually she would come around to it. But the fact of considering conversion therapy,
I
don't think you're the asshole.
Not at all.
I think this is really disturbing. And I'm happy that you're already thinking about the protection of your son, because mm-hmm. I'm not sure how much we kept it in the beginning, but we were talking about the little knowledge that we know about conversion camps, how, like you said, traumatic and dangerous they are, mm-hmm. how, you know, people trying to escape them and they do end up hurting themselves because it's like they're trying to change who they are and they're getting told that, you know, who they are is wrong, and by their own family, you know, they're getting sent away. So it's just really disturbing. And I'm happy that you're sticking up for him and that, yes. You know, you're not agreeing with your wife that should be the solution of fixing your son.
Right.
How about you fix your mindset on what you think about your son?
Whoa. That is.
And work on supporting your son from here on out, because like OP already said, he's going to have a hard life being in a world where even though it's getting more acceptable, it's not really that acceptable yet. Depends on where you're at. So why are you making it harder for him in his own home, right, where it's doesn't seem like it's that acceptable, at least from the wife?
And so she keeps going on, but she said, it's just a phase, he needs help. even if it is a phase, that's not going to help him going to a thing. Let him live it out and still love him no matter what. It doesn't matter.
And let him figure it out.
Right.
Let him figure out what he's going
to
be doing.
It's his life, not yours. Yes, you're supposed to guide him and help him, but that's not helping or guiding. You're shaming.
She could very well, and I kind of think this, believe that she's helping her son. She's like, we got to get him some help. You know, he needs to work on himself or whatever. And she's probably talking to him about this. And so now he's hearing from his parents, or at least his mom, like all of this stuff that she's thinking about him. And so he's probably already confused about himself. And now he's hearing from his mom. He knows what his mom thinks about him,
he's
you know?
He's 16, right?
Yeah.
He's already confused about.
So, and the fact that he even, you know, was brave enough to say, this is what I'm thinking, enough, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know.
I can only see that being more harmful too. Because if the plan does go out and he actually goes to the convergence therapy, just at least from what we were talking about earlier, just knowing some of the kind of malice behind those type of programs, and if he comes back with some sort of anger, you have nothing to blame but yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, you put him in that scenario instead of being a parent and loving him for who he is.
Yeah, because like conversion therapy, from what I understand, is basically being like, you are wrong. We're going to fix you. So not only do your parents believe that you're wrong, but they're putting you in a place where everybody else thinks that you're wrong. And so the only thing they can do for you to successfully graduate from conversion therapy is to change how you think about yourself. And even if you're just messing yourself up more and traumatizing yourself more and making it even more confusing for yourself as you figure it all out.
Yeah.
And then you think there's something wrong with you.
Okay. But I do. Conversion camp is just like, what the? It's not even real. This should not be a real thing because you were born. How you're born.
In my family, because we grew up in a Christian household, I know when my sister came out, it was... I don't think it was as bad as conversion therapy, but it was definitely not met with happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there were situations where people from our church were invited to the home to talk to her. And the way my sister talks about it, it's like, it just was not a good time. It was not a good experience at all. Because it's the same thing, people basically saying like, you're wrong. You need to fix yourself. You're not.
You're
right.
Just confused.
Yeah, you're exactly. You're confused. And these people from church, like, kind of berating you with that stuff. Luckily, like, I think my mom's turned over a new leaf and they have a better relationship now. And it's not like that. But those years, it was.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I was the only one who's like, hey, it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But
I was too.
This guy was too. So I'm like, I think the effects that the parents can have a, like a devastating effect on your kids. Like we've been talking about, like it can be the devastating for the person to feel like I'm just this bad person. But I don't want to completely demonize the mom because I'm like, my mom was literally, she didn't go this far, but I'm like, she was in the same situation. I'm like, I know my mom's a complex person. She has her faults. She has things that she doesn't always think the same that a lot of people think about, but she in her heart wants to do good and she wants to do good by the thing. So for OP, who's seeing this thing in this wife and not knowing who she is, I think if it's that important to you, like, yeah, you're hurting our child and I can't rock with that. That is completely valid, but I wouldn't say completely throw them. Like, maybe she needs time. Cause that's what my mom needed, was time. Maybe your wife needs time that you can say, this is very important to me that I don't want to hurt our child, and that is important to me, but maybe this is something we can talk more later and like, how can we move on from this place? Because hopefully the end goal is to keep your family together.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, that's what I was going to say too, is yeah, the balance. But it also made me wonder if maybe one was the mom was like the religious one and the dad just wasn't into religion at all.
Right.
Cause
that's what it seemed like.
Yeah. It seemed we have not saying that that's like a good, what the mom's doing is a good solution. Cause I don't think it is. even from a believer's perspective, I really don't think that would have helped anything.
Right.
But to Sam's point, it's like, you know, doing right, doing what you think is right. And she's like, we're at our last little bit. We got to figure something out. But, and him just being like, what? That's, you're crazy. You're literally insane for thinking that. But if he just didn't believe too, it's like, I could see where you could land on that, but that's not what we're doing here. Mm-mm.
God gave people free will.
Yeah, they're able to make their own decisions. And you can only really, I mean, you can raise up your kid as hard as you want, but at a certain point, they also have free will. They are their own person.
Right. Correct.
So, you know, you can just do your best and raise them with good morals and values. But after that, they're going to go their own way.
True.
Not the asshole. 100%. Noah is not broken. There's nothing to fix. Those conversion camps are hell on earth. And any parent who wants to send their child to one doesn't deserve to be a parent. Make sure you include it in the conditions of custody that it is absolutely not permitted. Depending on where you're located, it might even be grounds to go full custody. Buckle up, OP. Your fight for your children's rights and well-being is just beginning. And then update. So first of all, I'd like to thank everyone here for all the help and advice I've gotten under my post and in DMs. Sorry if I couldn't answer to everyone. It's just been too many people. So I posted something about my wife wanting me to send my son to conversion camp 2 days ago. First of all, some people told me to show her videos and documentaries about what happens there. But this argument has been ongoing for more than a week now. I've showed her things and she won't budge. Really bad update, if I can be honest, so let's get into it. All of you told me to try to get him out ASAP. Y'all were definitely right. So yesterday I took the day off and I went to see an attorney just to get some info about divorce, etc. But after what happened, I'm 100% sure I want a divorce as soon as possible. Yesterday, I went to pick up Noah at his school, and as many of you suggested, we had a long discussion. I basically told him his mom and I may be getting a divorce because she wants to send him to a conversion camp, but I can't accept that. I've talked with her many times, and I told him I'll probably go through with it. He looked really hurt. My heart broke all over again, but was very understanding and thanked me for standing up for him. I pulled him into a tight hug, and I told him I'll always love him no matter what, and that nothing is his fault. At that moment, he started crying because he was so glad at least I was on his side. And I'm very pissed. So sorry if I don't make sense, but apparently his mom has been pressuring him for months. She planned dates with girls to try and fix him. He had to lie by saying he was going at a friend's instead. She was saying he needs help, and as much as she loves him, he needs to get his condition cured. I feel so bad because I've been oblivious to all of that, and I failed to protect him for all that time. How do you make your 16-year-old son go through that? So when we got home yesterday, I can't lie, I was furious and I confronted her right then and there. At first, she was trying to explain she was doing it for him, but her speech quickly turned to slurs, and it was clear that she was just ashamed of having a gay son. In the end, I told her I went to see an attorney, and that learning all of that just confirmed I wanted a divorce. She got angry and called me a delusional disgrace. We argued a lot, and at some point, Noah tried to separate us, but my wife punched him multiple times. She was saying disgusting things like that he is a dirty F-word and that it's all his fault we're getting divorced because his filth corrupted me. My daughter, who was probably in her room, came to see what all the commotion was about and was rightfully horrified and quickly called 911 when I told her to. Long story short, the cops got there and took her away. She was reluctant to go because she was not in the wrong, and they needed to let her go. I explained everything to my daughter, and she doesn't want anything to do with her mom anymore. Right now I'm in the hospital because my soon-to-be ex-wife broke my rib while I was restraining her. Mm. I should have probably went as soon as the cops took her, but I don't care. My son was crying with a black eye and a split lip. They're checking for any concussions. And obviously, the only thing I cared about was to comfort him because I can't even imagine what it feels like to be beaten by your mom for being gay. I'm planning to file for custody, of course, and my kids don't want to see her ever again. Given all the charges she's facing, I hope she won't stand a chance against me. I just sent mail to my attorney, and I hope the procedure will be fast.
I've also thought of getting CPS involved, but I'm not sure they will really help. Like, I cannot understand how you can have grown so resentful of your own kid because of something they can't control. Even I had pretty strong opinions about it, but as a father, it is my role to unconditionally love my kids, and so I learned about the topic, and I changed my way of seeing the world for him. It took some time grasping it, but I never doubted one second the love that I have for my child. I thought it was the same for my wife, visibly not.
Put her under the jail.
So he did think the same thing.
Yeah, to a certain extent.
They had similar beliefs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The beating of your child.
Put her under the jail. Yeah.
The calling him slurs.
Yeah.
I think she just has a genuine hate for gay people to the point where she could not accept that her son was gay. And she resorted to literally hurting him because of this ideal that she has that she's not okay with.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was deeply wrong. And I'm really sorry that he had to be hit by his mom because she was freaking out. And yeah, it was just a horrible situation.
I think that what the dad really needs to do, though, is continue to reassure the son.
It's not his fault. Yeah,
yeah, that sorry. Is not his fault. Yeah. Because... I mean, like, just hearing the story and just knowing how everything just escalated, I know that he probably did, but just continual reassurance that, hey, you're not a result of what this, like, because, yeah.
Especially like, finding out for months that your wife has been behind your back,
mm-hmm.
talking
mm-hmm.
to your son about himself.
Like, she's straight crazy. That it's nothing to do with that son. She just, it... has to be her, like, it's like it has to be her way or it's never. I don't know, and maybe it is just a deep religious belief. I don't know that much about religion, so I can't really
that's
go hate. In on that
closer
but
to like Westboro Baptist Church.
Yeah, that's
kinda,
hatred right there.
Yeah, where they, yeah, were, I don't they know. Would go protest and do crazy stuff about gay things. So
I wonder though, how violently was she like hitting to break her, his rib like that?
No
she broke the husband's rib trying to, because he was trying to get her off of the son.
To say, yeah, like how violently was she like fighting to for that to happen? That's scary.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shitty thing.
Yeah, I think OP did the right thing. You're protecting your children
after that episode. Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she's probably not going to, like, get better.
No, no. She's probably literally joined Westboro.
My advice was good, but on this one, I don't think that's her.
Yeah, don't talk to her.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the right one.
Yeah.
It may take her, maybe, no, I don't know. I was going to say, maybe later down the line, she'll see that she was crazy.
Yeah, and hey, if she heals and moves on, that's great, but don't do it. Don't wait around for her to do it.
Exactly.
Move on with your kids. And if there's healing and if the kids want that, let that be a thing. But also if the kids never want to speak to her again, you know,
let
that be a thing.
It's tough too, because like, you know, I forget who it was, but we had an episode and then we all were like, wait, we used to be so positive. Like you could still fix it or like mend a relationship. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
together.
With Jazz. Cause it Jazz.
Was... And then you get, stuff like we were like, well, okay, like you could probably talk about it too, but then you just get updates like this and it's like ain't no coming
she just
back
went,
from
yeah
this.
No. She went straight.
You gotta let that Woo! Go.
She needs to go to 72-hour hold.
Yeah,
what it sounds like.
Well, I do think we get a lot of stories where people just don't talk, and I feel like that with a lot of people, like, dang, you should just talk. This was not one of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But people should talk more.
Yeah
But yeah, so that was the end of the episode. We did have another story to do, but it's getting pretty late, so we'll have to push that to another time.
Get on.
And we are...
we do have a time for an act-out.
No, we're going to wrap up this episode because Sammy has not gone to the bathroom in like 4 hours, so...
Oh, never mind. She's peeing as we speak. Okay, I think we're good.
So Sammy, thanks for coming back on the podcast. It was better this time because we didn't record it twice and you weren't here all day, but we were still here pretty late, but it was, you know, it was cool.
Yeah.
It was cool.
But yeah, thank you guys for coming to the Comfort Level Podcast. Thanks. Let us know what you think about all these stories in the comments. Make sure to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye.